Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Morning. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show for Monday, post-Super Bowl Monday. And I... right out of the gate, a thought that occurred to me that, yeah, no, we don't need a holiday on Monday. We don't need a holiday.
If you're going to post-Super Bowl holiday,
yeah, you don't need that. I think keep the games on the West Coast so that they end a little earlier, and I'm fine with that. But
we're going to get the holiday in the next 5 years.
You think we're going to have a real holiday?
Well, okay. You know what they're going to do. They're going to expand. They're going to expand football. Add another playoff week, and that pushes the Super Bowl to next week, so you have President's Day.
Well, you know, we've got a ton of Super Bowl discussion to have on the show today. We've got a lot going on. It was a very full weekend involving things I'm glad to do, I'm honored to do, but let's be honest, not a pleasurable experience because of a variety of reasons, which I will enumerate. But I always like to start, oh, by the way, Rob is not here. He's taking care of his some issues with his father, and he will return tomorrow. He was mentioning how, you know, it's a tough time for him, and, you know, sent us a text indicating that, you know, things are going roughly, and then... And then he did his happy posting
He was up way too late at the Kid Rock concert.
Exactly. The, what do they call it? The turning point.
Yes.
Turning point. So, but I thought, speaking of, you know, some wonderful television content, I thought I would share a couple of videos. The first one at the beginning of the show today that I have for you is the classic move where you surprise your parents. And torture your parents. I think Jackass gets credit for this with that. I think it was Bam, the drug addict.
Bam would come in and beat his dad.
And in the middle of the night. But this is just something to wake you up on a Monday. So so roll it and let's take a look. Here we go.
that's always a good one.
Can we roll it one more time just for me? He walks in there with his boombox, and it is perfectly cranked.
Oh, nice slow setup as you see the boombox, so you know what's coming.
And they don't know where he is. He's creeping.
The poor dad threw his book across the room. Who knows what page he's on?
And this next one, I think I sent this to you middle of the day on Saturday because it was, this is a young lady. I have to set this up a little bit. This is a young lady who has taken to some health benefits derived from the sun. That, you know, we've all heard that vitamin D is a good thing. I think it's been a while. It's been a day or two since I sent this to you. So I believe she explains what she's doing. And if you have to stop it, Josh, to ask me any questions, I think it's self-explanatory.
Okay.
And the video. Now, listen, we try to explain because we know I got more evidence of people consume this show, you know, most of them with audio. I get that. So we're going to explain her health regimen. If she doesn't do it, I'll make sure you know what's going on. Let's take a
perineum sunning is the practice of allowing natural sunlight to reach our perineum. The perineum being the area between your genitals and your butthole.
It explains what my neighbor's doing now.
She's playing the guitar with her legs up in the air.
Your wings and fly with me, and we can face our fears.
When I sun, I experience a connection with my music that is like no other. And my songs will just flow out of me.
Legs up in the air. This is a shot of her.
In my early 20s, I didn't like specifically know to sun my perineum, but what I would do is be barefoot or nude in nature.
Pause it for a second. All right, so what she's discussing is she's playing her guitar out of doors, pointing her nether regions to the sun, exposing the place, the taint, is what it's, and she's discussing the benefits of this.
And, well, it's the old saying, where the sun don't shine.
Where the sun doesn't shine, she's getting plenty of sun. And it seems to be, to be honest with you, quite a an effort to maintain that position. But she's a very fit young lady. Oh. And the long shot, it was pixelated, I guess. So they left a little bit too much
it's,
out
it's
there.
It's starting to get a little warmer down here in Florida. Did you try this weekend?
Well, only when it gets
to
above
see if
80.
There's a merit.
Only above 80. Let's roll the rest
My
of this.
My legs naturally open and I could feel the sunlight. So I discovered it pretty naturally and organically of just like, wow, that feels really amazing.
You're an old soul made of stars.
2 hours a day is a long commitment.
2 hours a day sunning her perineum.
My body is very in tune with that. And I just naturally always wake up whenever the sun rises, and I do my morning ritual sunning my perineum.
Is that where she lives? Looks like
I
she
like
lives in one of those small homes.
I place my perineum directly towards the sun because it's the divine masculine energy that activates it. Its warm, penetrative rays provide vitamin D. It's essential for my well-being.
There she is. There she is. Thank
where
you very much, young lady.
People?
All I know is that, you know, here's what I've always said. You can learn something almost every day. You truly can learn something almost every day. So I've never heard of this, but I believe she was legit. I tell you, if she's an actress, she's doing a fine job. But
Do you think she ever gets a sunburn?
I was saying, you know, it feels great. But I mean, I would imagine if you overdo it. That might be a problem, but anyway, yes. That's for, you know, I think there are many, many listeners out there that can benefit from this therapy. Everybody enjoy. I want to move on to the big game. We all get excited about it. It was, you know, a big bowl of okay. It was just kind of, yeah, you know, I will give credit to, I think it might've been either Tirico or Collinsworth, who I hate, with everybody else in the country, that made the comment that the game will be, the low scoring nature of the game will be panned by fans, where that will diminish the quality of the Seattle Seahawks defense, which was, I really do believe, as far as Super Bowls go and postseason games go, is one of the finest defensive performances I've ever seen by any team in the Super Bowl. It was really amazing.
But at the same time, he says that, but the whole build-up before the game was Sam Darnold or Drake May. They set it up as an offensive powerhouse.
And
they teased it as an offense.
They both had a rough time of it.
Yeah.
You know, early in the game, it's Sam Darnold's lucky that he didn't get picked off 2-3 times. So, but it was it is what I like to call the hype machine that's been around forever, and essentially it was a good old-fashioned ass whooping, and the rookie quarterback, second-year quarterback Drake May, overmatched for the moment, and Sam Darnold borderline overmatched for the moment.
He's struggling.
But the defensive performances for both teams, but really Seattle, just amazing. Not easy to watch that. But
that's not what you want for the Super Bowl.
No,
because
you want
Super Bowl,
a gunslinger.
People don't know what they're watching coming in. And they want just fun, throw the ball, catch the ball.
Yeah, and the whole deal with the Seahawks coming in as favorites. No one saw. Did you see that coming? I mean, you pay more attention
to it than I
do. Did you see that the defense for Seattle was going to go in and complete? I mean, one of the biggest dominating games I've ever seen. It was amazing.
I didn't see a full domination like this, but I thought the Seahawks defense was what was going to carry them over.
All in all, you know, it was New England, it was Seattle, it was a big bowl of okay, the commercials, big bowl of okay. I chuckled. I probably, you know, the only one, I don't even watch all of the commercials, but the one that I did watch that made me laugh, I think it was the singing toilets. The singing toilets
I got up and walked away during the singing toilets. I said, this is a good time to step out.
We disagree on many, many things. And, you know, and I think we probably did you flip over to your turning point presentation?
I did not.
Oh, see, that's
no.
Let me tell you something, folks. See,
but I never said I was going to.
He's not a Kool-Aid drinker. No, I that's part of the. No. That's the part. There's a reason. Let me explain something.
All right.
I have a tape in beautiful video that I may or may not play, but I am leaning. As many people who feel the way I do, I am leaning further and further away from trying to make reason out of certain things. And the fact is, you are not a pigeonholable person where it's not easy. You surprise all the time. And the fact that you didn't tune in, that to me shows, you do what you feel like doing. That's what you do.
You want to know my real opinion of Turning Point right now?
Yeah. First of all, I don't even know what it is.
Turning Point is the organization that Charlie Kirk founded.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when Charlie got killed, I made it clear, like, hey, I always looked up to Charlie because his organization was more about Jesus and loving people than politics.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened at his death is they took over Turning Point and it became fully a political machine.
Okay.
And I think there's nothing that highlights it more than yesterday with this halftime show that you have Kid Rock performing on the Trinity Broadcast Network.
There it is.
Makes no sense because it's all about politics now.
I put, as far as the regular halftime show, I could not have picked Bad Bunny out of a lineup prior to that. But because of all of the controversy and all the coverage, I think I, like a lot of people, I haven't gotten the ratings yet. I don't know how it did. It had to do spectacle. It was, I'm connected to a lot of Latin American people down here. My best friend is Latin American. He's Mexican. My best friends at Little League Baseball are from all over South America. And, I'm the one that yells SO when the kids do well and they greet me with SO. I have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with a lot of people. And so the joy that was conveyed without me speaking a word of Spanish was just palpable. It was so much fun to watch. First of all, if you get uptight about the butt shots at the beginning, I'm like, come on. I think adding a little of that, I think J-Lo getting up there, having a sexual element to the beautiful, beautiful women dancing freely.
But I told you before, previously, that's why we could never show the Super Bowl halftime shows because of stuff like that.
I would have no problem with my 12-year-old watching that halftime show.
People would.
Well, but I mean, if they would, then, it's not, there's nothing, but there's nothing dirty about it. There's nothing, it's.
No, and the truth is, in those type of events where I've had to censor the halftime show because of stuff like that, I also have to censor commercials and everything else that goes through on that.
Okay.
So the people who are would be concerned about
that. That's your faith.
But the people who are concerned about that, I don't know. I don't think they watch any TV throughout the year because it's hard to avoid any of that.
When you say you censor that, is it because of sometimes people who are watching it with you? Is that what you're talking about?
It's because I would be hosting Super Bowl parties for 200-300 people.
Ah, okay. So, all right, now I get it.
So you're going to have some people
from the church.
Right. And what you don't want is the feedback of negativity.
First of all, the performance was, as far as the choreography and the staging and what he did during the show, absolutely without flaw. It was flawless, and there were a ton of moving parts in that show.
I liked that the bushes were people. The little piles of grass were people in costume.
I remember that part, and then it appeared to me, I didn't see a cable, and yes, it wasn't super tall, but when he climbs a light pole during the middle of the show, and he goes up there, and it's like, you're saying, hey, that's a little high. I'm looking around for cables. I'm looking around for a net. I'm looking for like an airbag down below or some handlers in case he falls. I didn't see one, That was no. – and it was I love that beat. I don't know the lyrics, but I love the rhythms because I think, being down here in South Florida, that's a big part of what it is down here. And it's joyful. And, you know, Latin American people are a delight, in my experience, to be around. That it's, if you go to the baseball classic, Josh, as I did a couple of years back,
yes,
and you go to a regular preseason game against two regular baseball teams in the in Major League Baseball, it's fine, but it's not exciting. You go to the World Baseball Classic and you have Puerto Rico against the Dominican Republic, it is a riot fest. It is so much fun. It is so much energy. And that joyous energy, especially coming out of Puerto Rico that has been racked with these storms, I found it uplifting. I found it better than I ever would have expected it to be. It was pure joy. It was pure come together. We are one. And I didn't give it all that much thought, but I made a point of watching it. And and many people who didn't speak Spanish were looking at that going, this is great. And that's what it's all about. I thought it was worth the hype that it got. And normally, I mean, I'm somebody who summarily mocks Super Bowl presentations all the way going back to Up With People, which it seemed like for 5 years, the Up With People singers now to honor America will do this. So I thought I was delighted by it. I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was, it looked good. Production was excellent. The fall, yes, through the roof.
Yes,
into the house and come out and continue. Yeah. I like the clip that's going around on social now of Bad Bunny backstage dancing while Lady Gaga's performing, where he doesn't even know people are watching him, but he's just enjoying her performance.
And she, of course, when you can take, what's the commercial she did where we played it on the show?
Is it State Farm?
Yeah,
it's the State Farm. Will You Be My Neighbor?
Will You Be My Neighbor? I mean, when you can make when you can make that song rock, it's great. And I mean, really, probably the biggest female star working today. I would say so, probably to get her in there.
There's Taylor Swift and
Taylor Swift.
There's some other ones, but.
Did you hear that, or did you see the cam? I didn't realize that there were cameos, that Jessica Alba Pedro Pascal was in there, and it was just, it was worth it. I thought it was good. And it countered what was a very meh game that we watched, and man, it was fun to watch. Just the energy, Latin music. There's a place over in South Beach in Miami that I haven't been to in a long time. I'd love to go back, where they play salsa music, and it's just so energetic and so much fun. And the costumes are so sexy, and I love it. I love the whole vibe.
With all the hype for weeks about it being political and political and political.
Not a political moment.
That wasn't a political moment.
Other than we should all come together, and that was the message that I got. Stop hate. That's it. And stop hate. And somebody, I heard this quote online. If you are the kind of person that thinks we need a separate halftime show, you're probably the kind of person that thought we needed separate water fountains too, which I thought was funny.
I think everyone should be doing counter programming. I think why wouldn't you? Because there's people that don't like the Super Bowl and people that don't like whatever performance it is. So why would all these TV networks just give up and be like, for tonight, we're taking the day off? Why wouldn't you try to get people over?
Do you mean counter-programming to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, you know,
why are they all taking it off?
This is the weird thing about NBC. I don't remember a time where I have been less aware of the Winter Olympics. I don't remember. I mean, it's just non-existent in our minds now. Would you agree?
They've been too busy promoting playoff football and the Super Bowl that one's talked about the Winter Olympics.
I didn't know it'll be in the news today. I didn't know the problem that Lindsey Vonn had until I was looking at my news today. That sucks, you know.
The bobsled team had some trouble this weekend too.
Yeah, terrible. Let me tell you how you said it briefly, that the clips now.
Saying that pre-show. That's how I watch everything.
You watch everything in clips. And now I have been seeing these clips pop up on my feed, but I'm so removed from when, where, how the Olympics are happening that I thought they were from maybe years ago when they're qualifiers or whatever. I might track with it now that the Super Bowl's over. I might get into it. I love the Winter Olympics. I love the competitions. Love the skating. Love the skiing. Love the speed skating. Love the hockey. But it's been, I don't know, NBC spent a lot of money to get the rights to the Olympics.
I don't understand the timing. If I was the Olympic committee, I know I'm geared for the entire world, but I still would have chosen to push it back a week so right. that NBC could promote, hey, the Super Bowl's over. This is the dead time of sports. The opening ceremony is Friday night and the Olympics yeah. start.
Yeah. Well, I'll jump into it and maybe that will turn, you know, the better minds as far as television programming than me put this stuff together. There's got to be some kind of method to their madness. We'll have to wait and see. Leading up to the Super Bowl yesterday, Carla in her retail space has a room that she has now partnered with a really talented guy, a masseuse, Jonathan, and he did, I think yesterday was his first day, and she actually booked me an appointment, and I haven't been on the table for a very, very long time, and she said that this guy's the best. I have never, this guy, let me tell you about this guy. I've had a yeah, so sexy. No, stop it. He was really, really good. Halfway through, when I am face down, ass up, wearing underwear, I should say. Unlike Josh Soroka.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I kept my underwear on.
Unless I'm told to.
I kept my underwear on. I am face down, ass up, and he's working on my back. He spent probably at least half. Oh, my neck hurts today. But he loosened it up. He loosened my neck up so beautifully. He did a great job. Halfway through, I get the sensation that he's working on a certain area, but that he was clipping things onto my back, like hair clips were being put. I didn't know what was going on.
He didn't tell you ahead of time.
He did not tell me ahead of time. And then it wasn't until last night that I realized that I had been cupped. Have you ever been cupped?
Many, many times to the point that I bought my own cupper.
Should I say this?
No, I
cupped.
I enjoy cupping a lot.
I think
it definitely helps loosen things up.
All right. Are you now
covered in marks?
I didn't know this until I was saying goodnight to my son. I took my t-shirt off and he said, Dad, what are those marks? And then at the same time, Carla says, oh, he cupped you. I've never been cupped. And then I, because of my limited flexibility, I couldn't turn my entire head around like the Exorcist. And so I looked and had Carla take a picture. And then I saw the cupping on my, it's masseur, not masseuse. What's the difference? Is
male.
A masseur a guy? Oh, a masseuse is a lady? All right. Okay.
I didn't know that was the happy.
You know, Bruins rules, you have to go right there. That's not necessary. But most places that go. I picked the wrong time to turn on the comments when I was talking about this. But it was, boy, oh boy, absolutely. You can give it your all or you can't, right? In everything in life, you can put the effort forward or you can't.
Here's a picture from the last time I was cupped.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mine didn't look like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They look horrible.
The lower left looks like the bruising, like, bled into your back.
I know. It pulls all the blood forward.
Wow.
It's supposed to do that.
Wow. That's not like mine. Carla had a picture. I'm not going to show my ugly back to you.
And it's covered with hideous scars. My arms and everything, and then I got to wear a long sleeve for a day or two.
Here's how you know, in my opinion, that somebody that's doing therapy, whether it be a chiropractor or a masseur, bonjour, monsieur, they immediately find exactly where the trigger point is, where the source of the pain is. And so this guy uses Carla's office once a week, and I'm hoping that he comes in more often. He did really, really well with this new location. So they're partnering up, and I think that's what she should use that extra office room for, yeah. And I hope she does.
Makes sense.
It was fun. And one more thing I just wanted to mention to you. It was a weekend where I was, for lack of a better word, insecure. I was insecure because I was asked on short notice to do something with the baseball game. We can discuss that later. But I was also insecure because of the auction. I do my yearly auction for Home Base, which is an absolutely amazing organization that benefits vets with PTSD and offers them all sorts of mental health programs that get them back on their feet. And if you know a vet that is suffering, or a vet that is in a situation where they feel like they don't have any options, please, it's Home Base. Look it up online and get in touch with these wonderful people. I've done the auction now maybe 4 or 5 years, and you know how I feel about auctions, Josh, that you're the one with the clown shoes. You're
right,
essentially
you
asking people for money.
Was it Saturday night?
The Saturday night. And Saturday night, it doesn't matter what level you're at, but you are the guy that's putting your hand out. Even though you're not doing it for you, you're doing it, you know, you're the face of it. And people, let's be honest, Americans don't like to part with the almighty dollar. And, you know, it's a process. That's why it's an auction. So you get some people to pay more than others. That's why. And phenomenal generosity, anonymous generosity, too, with people that match the incredible donations that people got. And a young man that fought in Afghanistan, a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, spoke immediately before the auction. And there's so many special Americans. There's so many people that are fabulous in this country. There's so many people. We're so busy arguing all the time, we forget that there really are people that have done amazing things and honorable things and have dignity and grace and honor and courage. And it was a privilege to shake his hand and speak to him after the auction was over. But my feeling when I get pulled up after this is like, okay, we're going to lighten the mood right now. Well, that's pressure right away, Josh. That's pressure on me right away. You know,
yes.
it's kind of like
have a joke prepared.
My buddy, the general, saying, let's bring up the circus clown. All right. And the problems with my fragile ego are multifold. When you consider the fact that not only do I realize that I'm the one now that's holding my hand out during this auction, but that, in my current state, I probably wouldn't be able to bid on anything. And probably is the wrong word.
Well,
I wouldn't.
You shouldn't be bidding as the auctioneer anyway.
Well, of course not. Although it's possible, you know, if my wife came with me, she did not. That's it. And I feel inadequate by the end of the evening. The only thing that I have trouble with is when someone comes up in the middle of it because I've like made a mistake. And I did towards the end, and they said, no, you're supposed to do this first and the other one last. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let me tell you how it works. Okay. I'm getting the polite response, very few laughs. Because it's an auction. It's not a stand-up show. You don't get a lot of laughs when you're doing an auction, you know?
What type of stuff are you auctioning off? And is there anything where nobody wants to bid on it?
No. Everybody bid on something. It was all good stuff. Dinners, a beautiful patriotic golf bag. We had a lot of good stuff that we were auctioning it off. And the cause in and of itself, you could put a stick up there and somebody should bid on it based on helping these wonderful vets. But it was the moment when I was corrected, probably got the biggest laugh. And that's when I'm in there like putting up a good front, but inside I'm dying inside, because I'm like, the only thing they are really amused by is me being, you know, screwing up.
Right.
And that's when, you know, I have to control myself. Don't go dark. Don't go bitter. Don't go angry.
That's when you need to just suggest, how about a silent auction next year?
Here's the thing. No, I've done it, and I've done a lot of them over the years, more than I can count, and I'm happy to do it for this because this is the only one I do every year. And at one point, there is a couple down front to the right of the podium, and they are chatting as I'm doing the offer. And I looked over, and I said, just go ahead and continue your conversation. I'm just trying to raise money for this cause. And I got the stink eye from this guy. I got the stink eye that was like the unblinking stare. And it was only afterwards that I realized I totally misinterpreted the stare. Now, this is where my insecurities are causing a lot of stuff to go on in my brain when the fact is that things aren't all that bad. You know what happened? The guy, I walked over, I said, I hope you understand I was just doing shit. He said, oh, I've listened to you for years. This is down here. It just doesn't happen. He's staring at me, maybe doing shtick, but he's a listener. And suddenly I'm like, okay, maybe I should be a little more secure in my own skin. I should do that.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I expected he was blind or something.
I couldn't believe it. It was fun. I was delighted. And then at the end, they do a raffle, and there's no conclusion for my part, so I just slink back to my seat, and God bless the general, gives a nice little thank you to me with applause, and I raise my hand up, and everything was right for the world. Good. All right. And then I have to mention one last insecure moment because my kid and the school that he goes to that we send him to by smoke and mirrors because we want him to have a good education. There are people with means at this school. There are people without means. And then there are people with a lot of means. And I've been to some pretty amazing places and homes, and the one that he had a birthday party for one of his buddies, and we pull up to this house, and it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful home, really, really beautiful home, a home that probably in my best days, I could not have dreamed to have this nice a domicile. It is beautiful. It's on the water. It's spectacular. And, you know, some might just say, wow, isn't that pretty? Not me. I just, you know, I say, you know, the voice in my head, it's going, where did I fail? Where did I go wrong? Where did I mismanage the way things go? And some could say it was the divorces. Yeah. Most of Americans feel like that, you know?
That's where I see my paycheck, and I'm like, it's the divorce.
And this is, and I am, how do I feel when I'm walking into this situation? I'm feeling just, for absolutely no reason. Everybody couldn't be nicer. I'm feeling a little self-conscious for absolute. Nobody gives a rat's ass what I'm thinking or what I'm doing there. But I walked in with my wife, and it was special. And the kids are having a blast, and it's like any kid's birthday party. It's just in a beautiful home. And I look, and there is a woman on the patio. Appears to maybe be based on the kids running around, might be grandma, but I'm not sure. And she's kind of giving me a look, and then she's giving me another look. And this is the way my mind works. I'm thinking, she's looking at me because I don't belong here.
Oh, see, I think she's looking at you because the grandparents belong out here.
No, this is what happens. I walk over. We're having a chat with the wonderful mom who is throwing the birthday party. She's got a sister. Carla's chatting with the sister. It's very, very nice. And suddenly, from you know, the back of the yard, the grandma comes up to me and says, "I don't want to embarrass you, but I go to sleep with you every night." And
well, these are good things.
I have lifted my insecurity on two now within 24 hours, two separate occasions, and she is from the D.C. area, And her grandson is celebrating his birthday in this beautiful spot. And she is going on and on. She knows about Rob. She knows about you. She listens to the podcast. I could not have been more thrilled. And she was continuing to apologize. She said, I don't want to embarrass you. I said, you don't understand. This fuels me. This is as good as it gets for me. You have made my day. And I meant it. And I think she knew I meant it. But it was really, really, really cool. And, you know, the only thing I would say to her about that, I said, well, can you say it a little louder so more parents can hear you? But no, it was sweet. It was very, very kind. I think her name is Diane. I think it is. I'm not sure, but I think it's Diane. Diane, love you. Thank you for saying that to me.
And sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
I should fall asleep.
Yes, yes. Lullaby and good night.
But I like this. This could be good for your insecurity if you just assume whenever someone's staring at you, they're a listener. They listen to you.
Used to be to the point of egomania where I would, because here's the thing I used to hate when we were on, you know, when we were on the radio doing mornings or afternoons and we were running TV commercials and we were recognized in a lot of places. I used to think everybody that would stare was a listener of the show. I've told the dildo story that when I got really mocked, but I've also I would also be a victim of I'd be at the weekend maybe having dinner and somebody would be looking at me and I would think maybe, and then the next day somebody would call the show and said, hey, Mike, did you enjoy that steak that you were devouring? That kind of thing where they're spying on me. They're not just coming up to say hi, you know, and then go ahead.
And think if you, but see, you grew up before social media, or didn't grow up, but your radio career was
before the combustion engine.
Well, yeah, but just social media wasn't around as you were this big star in DC.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have had people taking creep shots of you eating that steak, posting.
Yeah. One of our listeners, Nodak701, said the lady at the birthday party said she then told Mike she bought an I Love Rob t-shirt and an I Love Josh t-shirt. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Hey, listen, occasionally I can share moments. I don't get them like I used to in the world of podcasting. I like it. It made me feel less inadequate. And by the way, the auction was a success. My son had a good time at the birthday party, and everything was fine except the baseball game. That's it. We got to move on. And we've got lots of fun coming up in the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, if you're looking for Rob Spiewak, Rob is tending to some business for his dad down in Miami. He will join us again tomorrow. But first, I want to tell you about our delicious Omaha steaks. Steak your claim. Get it? And claim your steaks with Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more. That's really loud. They have an unmatched variety of high-quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code MIKE at checkout. That's Mike. It's not the usual code, people, so remember that. Listen, I don't need to... Hey, Josh?
Yes?
Josh, that's really loud. I can't hear myself.
That's still loud?
Yes. Here we go.
Right there. I can barely hear it.
And now you're loud. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha Steaks are, but I will. They are my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite, packed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every steak perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917. Sonny Jurgensen loves steak. Ah, he's with us even when he's not with us. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code MIKE at checkout. MIKE is a new code, so pay attention. That's OMAHASteaks.com. Promo code MIKE. Terms apply. See site for details. Take it away with the news. You're a busy man today.
Is that too loud?
Yes. Yes.
There we go.
Okay, hold on just a second here.
All right, that show intro must have been really loud. to start the show.
A second, I'm double checking on something. There we go. Consumer Reports did a deep dive to. I've got the news. I put the wrong thing up there. Hold on, I'll get it. I'll get it fixed. What were you saying about the audio?
That the music for the intro of the show must have been extremely loud.
It always is a little louder.
It's always a little louder
than normal. All right. Hold on. I'm going to find this in a second here. And okay,
here we can restart.
I got it. I just found it. Here it is. Oh my God. All right. Do I have it? Okay. Let me see if I've got it. I'll see it right here. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mike. Right. Good job. Glad that finally worked out. Yeah. You know, but anyway, I want to start with, it's hard to figure out what's true and what's not. Do we really need more static like this? The term vague posting. Have you heard that, Josh? Are you aware with vague posting and what it is?
I assume it's no.
Let me explain it to you.
No, explain it. I'm sure I've seen it. It sounds like something Rob would be doing.
Vague posting is when you share something that's intentionally vague, so you might seem like you're making a point, but you're really not. And it's not done because people are just not knowing how to post. It's doing because there's a method in their madness. You might say something like, Sabrina Carpenter was right, just to drive clicks and make people ask what you think she was right about. Yeah, so that's what it is, and I hate it. I really hate it.
After a halftime show, I just typed, that was special, and just left it.
I don't think I vague posted when I went amazing. What a joy fest! Or I think mine was pretty clear.
It was about Bad Bunny.
Yeah, it's not a new term. It dates back to at least 2011. It's just more common than ever. Merriam-Webster even has a definition now: to post cryptically on social media for engagement or attention. So it seems like we're saying more online while also saying less. You're not wrong. It's hard enough to figure out what's true and what's not. Do we really need more static like this? Vague posting is trending, and that's exactly what it sounds like. So, you know, if you're seeing that, attention. You know, somebody's working you if you do that. That's what it is. Did Rob Spiewak do it?
Everything he does is a vague post.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, he posted a lot yesterday. You know, he may not be here today. He may not be here today, but he certainly did the Rob show yesterday. I mean, it was just you know. And as I told you before the show, he's dealing with a lot of crap, and we understand that. But that drives me crazy when he does that. You know,
right.
You know, when you're taking a day off, just go under the radar. Okay, that's just my advice to him. Okay, instead of the funny, witty, you know, Bad Bunny and Eddie Rabbit, I got them confused. I was ready, you know, ready to hit the roof. Anyway, I'll deal with that later. I shouldn't say that, but I did. There, I said it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Bad Bunny promised that the Super Bowl halftime show would be a party, and he wasn't lying. You may not have understood his lyrics, but the upbeat vibe was unmistakable. There were surprises, too. Randomly placed among the musicians, dancers, and revelers were celebrities like Cardi B. I didn't see her. Jessica Alba, didn't see her. Carol G., don't know her. Pedro Pascal, Alex Earl, and Young Miko. These were quick, random, blink, and you'll miss some cameos. That's probably why I didn't see it. But if you think you saw any of these people in the crowd, you did. There were also two guest performers, Lady Gaga, who sang in English, and Ricky Martin, who had a weird t-shirt thing going on, like wearing all white, but then kind of the tan t-shirt. Notice. Oh, I was looking right at his. I wanted to see his abs. That's what I wanted. And there was a wedding. And I think everybody in America that watched this, Josh, I think everybody said, is it real? And it was. A couple had invited Bad Bunny to their wedding, but instead he invited them to the Super Bowl to get married during his performance. Super fast, but that was a legitimate wedding. And then there was kind of a wedding reception motif throughout the entire performance, which made it even more fun. He did say one thing in English towards the end of the show. It was God bless America. He also flew the American flag along with the flags of Puerto Rico and several Latin countries. The performance ended with him spiking a football that had "Together We Are America" written on it. You know, I'm trying to find a flaw. I didn't find one. I really didn't find, and I love when it's young, old, classical, you know, traditional, modern, hip hop. It's just Lady Gaga sang Die with a Smile, and Ricky Martin did Bunny's Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii. I think I got that right. I'm not quite
something
sure.
About Hawaii.
Something.
That's what I
have. Lindsay Vonn, I was mentioning her before, but she hoped to be the Cinderella story of the Winter Olympics, but didn't turn out that way. Lindsay was hoping to win the women's downhill at the age of 41, but last week she crashed at the World Cup in Switzerland. She suffered a ruptured ACL, a bone bruise, and meniscus damage, and she decided to compete in the Olympics anyway. It turned out to be a bad decision. Lindsay crashed yesterday and broke her leg. That is some bad luck. She had to be flown by helicopter to a nearby hospital. In a bittersweet moment, Vonn's teammate Breezy Johnson won the women's downhill, becoming the first American woman to take the gold since Vonn did it 16 years ago. Josh, I hate the fact that I'm so removed from the Winter Olympics. I would have loved to watch that. I don't know. And were they talking about something after the Super Bowl that they were going to have some sort of event, you know,
the
was
the best
it
way. I don't know. The best way to watch the Winter Olympics is to go to the Peacock app, because you can just choose whatever you want to watch and watch it on demand.
Okay.
And watch it right away, because it's impossible anymore to watch live.
Yeah.
Because it's all to tape because of time zone issues and everything.
Okay. Breezy Johnson said, quote, "I can't imagine the pain that Lindsay's going through, and it's not physical pain. We can deal with physical pain, but the emotional pain is something else. I can't imagine." Breezy's gold was the first medal for the U.S. in any event so far. So as I mentioned, maybe now I'll try to get into it, because it's, you know, it's interesting watching, but I might just do it the way Josh does it. So we'll see. The Eagles. It's always the Eagles. They always seem to be going whiny, whiny. Now, look, I think we can all agree that some of these bands linger maybe a little longer than they should, but one of those bands may not be the Eagles. It seems like they'll never stop touring, but now Don Henley is predicting the band's death in 2026. Here's his quote. "I'd like to spend more..." I actually do, Don Henley. "I'd like to spend more time with my family. I'd like to spend more time growing vegetables." That's not really that good. Henley has four kids and a grandchild he'd like to see more of. He'd also like to travel more. Well, what about the other members of the band, Don? I don't know why I said that. Like, where you actually get to enjoy the places you travel to. He said, "We see the airports, we see the hotel rooms and the venue, and we don't get out much. I'd like to go back to the places I've been and see more of those places before it all disappears." So
That just means work with your tour booking person to give you more days off.
Okay. I think that's a solution.
Get a paid trip to wherever you want to go and then get a week off.
Well, you're the executive producer. Get Don Henley on the line or drop him a line and just say that's the way to solve your problems. But I think he just wants to chill out. The man's 100 years old. Why not? Just take a step back. I'm cool with that. I won't. Told somebody that over the weekend. Oh. How long? The lady at the birthday party said, I hope you're not. It sounds like sometimes you might be stepping back. I said, no, I'm going to continue to do that. And she said, well, how long? I said, till I'm 94.
Oh, a little different. He's got Eagles money that continues to roll in.
Mm-hmm.
And you need this, I think, for your health. You tried last summer taking some time off and quickly needed to come back.
Yes, my health care. That's what it is. A lot of people have high cleanliness standards for their Uber ride, even though their own car is a total disaster. In a new poll, 34% of people who own a car say they'd be embarrassed for someone they know to look inside their vehicle. Where do you line up on this? If I was to go out to your truck, is that your primary mode of transportation
now?
That is my
primary mode of transportation, and I have it needs a good cleaning.
Inside?
The outside looks really good.
Okay.
Inside, it's not that it's filled with trash or anything. It's just we've got kids, so there's crumbs everywhere.
I noticed.
Yesterday, someone must have dumped a bag of Doritos on the floor and have been stepping on it for a week.
There it is. Ground in. ground in corn. Cornmeal is what it is right now. Look, I think you and I, it mentions this in the story, that we get a little free pass for kids. In a new poll, 34% of people who own a car, 34%, big number, say they'd be embarrassed for someone they know to look inside their vehicle right now. 33% say they have random clothing in their car. I know I do. 23% say there's trash and food wrappers. I can safely say, no, of course, I did this story before I took my kid to school, so we cleaned the car out this morning.
I traveled this weekend, so there's probably some food wrappers in there.
33% say they have random clothing, 23 trash, 36 admitted there are bottles and cans littered around. Yes, go ahead.
Red Bull cans is my problem. That's normally what I have to clean out of the car.
And 21%, you know what the final 21% say?
No. I mean, if it's not trash, body hair?
Body parts. Anyway, there's actual food, according to 21%, on the floor of their vehicle.
Smell.
It will. Gen Zers are the most likely to say their vehicle is clean. I always forget. Which ones are they? The Gen Zers?
Born in the 90s.
Okay. Boomers have the messiest cars. I'm not really an official boomer. There's a new category for it. I forgot what it is. Somebody in the comments remind me of what the post-boomer, pre-whatever the next one is. That's the one I am. But they say the Gen Zers are the most likely to say they have a clean car, and boomers have the messiest. So keep track of that. I saw a video of it that we were born when things were changing, which means the 60s, when we were in a period of turmoil and big change. So that means I might not officially be a boomer, but I am the child of the greatest generation, which is a group I hate, and they're all down here right now. Some idiot in New Jersey needs a new truck. Finally, this is our last story, after he did donuts on a frozen lake and he fell through the ice. Someone called 911 last week after they saw the roof of the truck sticking out of the ice. The rest was submerged. They didn't know if anyone was in it or not. Thankfully, he made it out and just left the truck there. Now, this video is a little dark. It's a little hard to see, but you do see. You direct the attention to the rear end of the vehicle, and you will see that goes down. I think you can see it, but take a look and see if you can see it. There he is.
Now he's spinning.
And right about.
He's back of the truck is going down.
Yes. There he is. It happened near Eagleswood, New Jersey. Great town. Just up the coast from AC. The mayor called it stupidity at its finest.
Well, that kid doesn't know how physics work.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Turns out someone got it on video. It was dark out, but you saw it. And we say no word on the make and model, but the average full-size pickup weighs around 3 tons, so 6,000 pounds. They haven't released the guy's name, but he's 44 years old, facing charges for reckless driving, leaving the scene of an accident. He also didn't have a valid driver's license. Shocker. Sounds like the ice not only swallowed his car, but it probably filled his glass. Am I right, ladies? There it is. Thank you very much. Now we need the music. All right. It's time to move on with the show. Yay, yay, rah, rah. Hey, I mentioned my wife's brick and mortar store, Dermglow Skin, right here in South Fort Myers. Hey, quarterback, you need dermglowskin.com. That's where February health starts, because this month on TMOS, it's all about feeling better, having more energy, and getting back to feeling like yourself. We talk a lot about telehealth and doctor-prescribed GLP-1s because they support weight management by reducing cravings, helping with portion control, and taking some of the mental battle out of food. It all starts with a simple online medical assessment. Easy, discreet. Now let me switch gears for a second. Just in time for Valentine's Day. By the way, Carla received this, Josh, over the weekend. There's something called, it's new, it's called Elate Spray. It is it's doctor prescribed nasal spray, and it's designed to support desire, circulation, and emotional connection.
Great way to start the morning.
Personalized care delivered straight to your door. Here's the fun part. Right now, every Elate spray order includes a free Rose-style personal massager. No code needed. Thank you. Available through February 14th while supplies last. And yes, there are payment plans available. Klarna is a favorite, and HSA and FSA are accepted. So if February is your month to focus on health, confidence, and feeling good again, head to DermGlowSkin.com, click on the Weight Management and Peptides button, and get started with a simple online assessment. That's DermGlowSkin.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so the show squares happened over the weekend, yes. Our Super Bowl show squares. Do we have any big winners that you'd like to share?
All right. We had eight winners.
You're a little crazy loud for me right now.
Yeah, I'm too loud.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on with levels today. How's that? One, two, three?
A little softer, if you don't mind.
A little more down?
There you go. Thank you very much. All right. That's good.
So eight different people won cash yesterday thanks to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But the big winners, John LaFrance and Brett Sublette.
And how much did they win in the squares?
$600 and $140 bucks.
You're welcome,
and
boys.
And $300 went to Stephen Craig, Dirk Bastrick, and Michael Plath, and $120 each went to Lee Angle, Alan Wetzel, and Scott Schmidt.
Hey, Wetzel won! Yay, Wetzel! Yeah, all right.
Eight different winners, so everyone got a little bit.
Since we're mentioning Alan Wetzel, Alan, let me share with you my kid's rec team this year. He's on the Philadelphia Phillies. Your team. Yay, rah, rah. I've never had my son play for a Phillies team. It's exciting.
I don't mind the Phillies as a little league team because, you know, they don't, it's not like your kid's coming home in a Yankees hat. Mm-hmm. It's a team that nobody cares about.
Guess where he played Friday night? Josh Soroka.
Where does he play?
Shortstop.
I like proud. That.
Yeah, pretty cool. What is this request that you got over the weekend? Well, what did you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, well, I was saying I agreed to do something with the Chad Duke Show for his next event in April that he's been doing right now with some of his guys. And I wanted to ask you if this was something I should have signed up for. It's too late. I've signed up for it. I'm doing it.
But now, you're a fan of both my show and Chad's show, and you work with Chad, and I got you to work with me through Chad, that connection. You've been listening to me a long time, and you've been working for Chad for a long time as well. Let me ask you this. This is my impression. You tell me if I've got it right. I used to like it when the Big O and Duke show was on the radio. I loved having them on the radio station that I was on because they entertained me. So I like that. And I've always enjoyed the program. I want to see if I've got my Chad Duke's personality analysis or lifestyle analysis correct. All right. Okay. So, Chad Duke, still a happily married man? Is he still married?
He's
happily married. He was very successful. And the way I always understood it is that his show was always surrounded by big, hairy men.
Yeah.
Primarily, yes.
His show is definitely geared towards around hanging out with friends.
Hanging out with the boys, and even when he's not doing a show, doesn't he travel down to like the Outer Banks with a posse of men? Isn't that how he does it?
Yes, I believe he's got that next weekend.
So I've got it right.
Yeah,
that's
yes.
Yeah, so Chad's show is always one of the guys, and a lot of them listen to this show, and I'm grateful for that as well. So, and you produce that show as well, which is cool.
So he just got a group of those guys to work to do a bit for a CD release that he did, and it's so successful.
And isn't that a CD release from a music group that's all men?
I mean, it's all men on it, but it is there is no music. But
CD?
Just a special episode of the podcast that he sells on a CD.
All right. And of course, it's
a fundraiser type thing.
And of course, we should mention Tapawingo. That's the last time we talked to Chad about that movie that he is fantastic in, by the way. And you guys did a great interview with Napoleon. What was his name again? Napoleon.
John Hader.
John Hader. So you're doing what's he up to now?
That's what I want to. So the bit now is that for his new beer release that he's doing in April, that before the show, the live show, I will take an IQ test with a couple other guys, and our scores will be unveiled in front of everyone else without us knowing ahead of time. Was this a mistake to sign up for, to do an IQ test and have it unveiled in front of a crowd where I could be the dumbest one there? I don't think so.
Well, all right. Let me weigh in if I can on this. The thing about IQ tests is there's a lot of logic involved.
Right.
A lot of patterns and
I think memorization.
But here's the thing. This is my I'm getting enlightened right here. I've confirmed all of what I believed Chad's show was, which is a hang with the guys, essentially. That's what it is. Right. They're women listen as well. Let me ask you this. This is my book on you. You know, the grammar that we mock, the whole thing with you, if you cut through all of that crap, I was saying to somebody just the other day that I think you're one of the best in-studio producers I've ever had. You get tons of stuff. It's it's Fat Rob and Fat Mike that are always saying, Josh, do this, Josh, do this, Josh, do this. And you, on the fly, work very, very quickly and efficiently, and you have a breadth of knowledge about a lot of technology. You can't do that if you're a big dummy.
But
let me finish. Then we move into what I think is my favorite part of getting to know you on this show is your intuition, which cannot be poo-pooed in this business. If you've got intuition to kind of know where the show is going, know where the content is going, know what is needed, throw a line in here. You can't do that if you don't have some smarts and some savvy about doing the show. And I think you can't do that if you're a dullard. You can't.
That's also the why I agree, because if I am a dullard, I know it's good for the show. I know it's entertaining for that.
Well, with the grammar and with the now, let me tell you where the shortcomings are. They're not necessarily IQ shortcomings. What they are is, like, for example, when it comes to laughing during the show or moving it along like that, you're not burdened with that. You're not politeness.
No, you have to earn this.
Your politeness level is below 1.5. You know, I mean, you don't give a rat's ass if something is not amusing to you. You're not laughing. So a lot of times, I've become used to it. The honest reactions of just sitting and sometimes seeing you, doing something else during the show. That's there. That also, in my opinion, doesn't necessarily Rolando says, will your IQ be higher than the room temperature?
that's the question.
That's funny. Why is somebody congratulating Dirk? Why is that?
He was one of our winners.
Oh, Dirk, I didn't even hear the name. Oh, Dirk Fassler. Yeah. Well, hello. I'm sure that how many squares did he buy? Like 50?
I don't know. I think probably like 10.
Don't worry about it. So you are worried about being mocked for a low IQ?
I am not worried, but I had someone else telling me last night that they were worried that it would make their business look bad and that people wouldn't want to work with them for a low IQ. I'm not worried because it's not going to affect my job whatsoever.
But here it is. I think also involved in these IQ tests, probably a little bit of something that I don't think you burdened yourself with growing up, and that's book learning.
Oh, I do not have a college degree.
You do not have a college degree, but also, you know, you were not probably a student who really was sweating the details. Would I be accurate with that?
Oh, right. No, I would. Yes.
Now, you come from a family where there has been academic achievement. Your brother
is a doctor.
He has a doctorate.
I think everyone in my family at least has gone through a master's program. So
you're the outlier. You never even saw a college campus
growing up. I went to 2 years of college. I saw some college campus.
You went to Andy, as George Carlin called it, Andy Granatelli Vocational. What you did? I didn't know you did 2 years. I thought you graduated high school and then immediately went to work in the mechanics office.
No. In fact, I went to 2 years of college and then I went to vocation school.
What was the, would you like to share? This is, you never know what we're going to get on this
show. Where I went to college?
Yeah. Would you like, yeah, I am forgetting. By the way, it's like going to Bruins. I will say this. It's like going to a foreign country or a country with a heavy dialect. When I forget my G's, it's because I've worked with him. And sometimes it happens like that. So keep them coming. What would you like to share? What school you went to? Was it a community college?
I went to Covenant College in Georgia for 1 year.
Oh, I've got their theme song. Hold on a second. I've got that. All right, here we go. Play it.
Close. If it was bagpipes.
What do you mean bagpipes?
They were like a Scottish themed.
Ooh, there you go, Josh. Yeah. All right. Well, what's that F there up there? That's a feeling great.
So
That's a feeling grade got there.
I didn't get failing grades. I got C's, and that was not good enough to pay private school, apparently. So then I came back and went to Anne Arundel County Community College for a year.
I remember talking about Anne Arundel Community College. And that. So what was it about the rigors of academic life that turned you in the other direction?
There's a lot of test taking. There's a lot of studying.
Testing, studying.
There's a lot of getting up early and getting to class.
I get it. I understand. Yeah. But I mean, your work ethic is, I think your work, you work two jobs now. Maybe you work three jobs now.
I work three jobs now.
Four, and if you count Chad and I separately, you're working four jobs.
Well, I throw Chad under the podcaster's warehouse, so it becomes three.
Yeah, you spend more time on this show, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
But it's because I care. I didn't care about any of the classes I was taking.
That's why you and Rob are buddies. It's all becoming clear that you only do what is a passion project. Yes. You like what you do. That's what it is. That's it.
I could never have a job that I didn't really care about.
You probably, if you were asked to do an auction, you'd say, piss off. You know, that I get it. I said yes to two things over the weekend, and it was not that it was breaking rocks, but it was not in my comfort zone. But I think that's where you and Rob, you know, like, for example, you know how I ask Rob to do something, right? Like send the sounds along, send the audio clips along. He doesn't do it because he doesn't like to do it. He doesn't get guests because he didn't get guests.
No,
and he was the producer for
a huge pain to get.
Yeah, and he doesn't like it, so he just does it. And now I'm beginning to think it's the same thing. You know, with it's passionate for you to do the whole pot. You like that job?
Yeah, I need to care about my job, or I get burned out, and I don't care. So yeah, it's got to be something that I thankfully found careers that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And love the industries I'm in. Because
how is the other gig going? The Smart House gig? Is that going well?
I mean, I've only been officially there a month, and it's going outstanding.
Ah, good to hear that. All right, that's good, because if you're happy, I'm happy.
Nope,
that's
very the good way Friday goes there. Deals.
So yeah, I would say for the you know how this business works. Comedy is king.
Right.
You go for it.
And
that
was my view. Was it's funny no matter what.
Yeah, and if by the way, if you go for it and it is it results in comedy gold,
it'll be good for this show too. I'm
please,
sure.
Please ask Chad if it's okay to share a clip.
We will
on this show. I would. But now if you want me just to run with it, you make the call on that one. But I'd like to find out. I think you should do it. How many others? Yes, go ahead.
Have you ever done an IQ test?
I've done them on my own.
Okay.
I've done them on my own because I get sucked in by that quite a bit.
Okay.
And then I'm so dumb that I'll take one of those online tests that they put on your feed. And then
And then
they won't ask for money until the end, and then it just goes away. So I'm a rube, which means I have a low IQ that I participated in that.
And
you know?
I have not. This will be a proctored test with like a professional that knows how to do it.
You know, I think that I would be more than willing to go for it. But I do believe it's academically based, and I think that that might be problematic, but I'm not sure. Because the ones that I've seen, don't they always say, how are the, show me the next shape in the pattern? You
that's,
know,
that's
they
the like ads patterns. I see is patterns yeah. and numbers, math maybe. Right.
I've done a lot of like world history quizzes that I've done very well, modern history quizzes, the English usage quizzes that I've done okay in, but I'm not sure the pure IQ test. And by the way, isn't that just the typical separating us from our money, where you can find these anywhere, but yes. people put them up just to grab a little money? That's the way that works. Sure. And I'm a sucker. They play to ego. They play to somebody's ego. That's the way that goes.
I told you, Chad already did this with six guys, and one of them did score an 88, where the average in the country is 100.
Oh, my God. I believe. So see, I've seen some of those guys that hang around the show. Yeah. There's no big surprise there. Has Chad taken the test?
No, he refuses to.
He refuses to? Yes. Okay, that's it. Well, get back to me and you know, let me know how that works out, because I'd be very curious to see. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. That's just the
I think so, too.
I'll tell you about the two things I hated. Well, the one that I really hated. Really hated. Speaking of low IQ, I am officially declaring it to be stay home and get cozy with a bottle of wine season. Amen. Print it. Take it upstairs to the fat man. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers, so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code. So weird in my headphones. Use our code TMOS at nakedwines.com and get $100 off your first order. That's six bottles of wine for $39.99. How do they do it? Well, Naked Wines brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you would pay in store, people. And it's great wine. I've talked about it. They cut out extra costs like middlemen markups. Winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. Uncork some happiness and cheers to Sonny, the gunslinging QB. Very much on Rob's mind. The best wine at the best price with Naked Wines. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS. Click enter voucher and put in the code TMOS for both the code and password for only $100 off your first order. And that's $39.99 with shipping included. That's good stuff. Remember to use the code and password TMOS, six bottles, $39.99. All right. I just wanted to share the one other thing. The auctions that look, it's a pleasure to raise money for a great cause. It's a pleasure to help my son's little league team. But I got the text about 2 hours before the game on Friday. When he had reached out early on to parents, are you hearing that in the background? Are you hearing that?
A little click.
Yeah, that's you. That's you. You got to turn yourself down again.
I'm too loud again.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know what's going on with the levels today.
Yeah, it's a little softer, maybe.
A little softer? A little softer? All right, how about right there? One, two, three?
A little more. All right, here we go. Let's hear it.
How are we doing?
A little hotter.
One, two, three.
Thank you. All right, so this to me is, he reached out about a week and a half ago and said, need parents to volunteer to run the scoreboard and to keep the scorebook. I responded with this. I said, not really skilled in the scorebook area, but I can run the scoreboard whenever you'd like. 2 hours before the game on Friday, which, by the way, was an 8 p.m. game, which meant the game was going to take place when it was like 25 degrees. No, I'm sorry. It was like 45, 48 degrees, but it was Florida 48, okay? It was cold. It was cold. Can you do the scorebook?
I was also asked this weekend to run the scoreboard and turn it down.
You did?
Because I went and visited my brother and his family this weekend and went to my nephew's basketball game and was asked to run the scoreboard, and I quickly said no. Right, did not want to be a part of that.
Let me get back to Friday. All right. I know I'll get it in a sec. I want to make sure that I got to go. Okay. So let's see. Friday. Oh, early. 3 hours, 4 hours before the game, 5 hours before the game, a long time before the game. He says, hey, wondering if I can convince you to do the scorebook tonight. I write back, because I've already made the decision that I'm going to eat it and do it.
Is it a manual scorebook or digital?
It's manual. Okay. Never done the scorebook, but there's a first time for everything. I've run the scoreboard a few times, but I'll do whatever you need. So I'm being the good dad this time.
Okay.
Then this is a guy that sweats the details. He said, the scorebook is pretty easy. You can do that from your chair behind home plate. He knows my regular position.
You're already sitting in the right spot to do it.
Yeah, I am. And he sends me a video that's called Learn to Keep Baseball Score in 4 Minutes.
Oh, so he wants like real details. So if you're going to write in the 4-3-2, you're going to write in what happened.
I did the best. There are a lot of walks in our league. All right. Okay. So I did it says, take a quick peek at this. And if not, I'll be happy to have you on the scoreboard. Oh, I didn't see that. I said, way to sweat the details. Thanks, coach. Because, you know, sending the video was going above and beyond.
And then, remember, I tell you all the time how the parents handle things helps the kid. As far as your relationship with the coach helps the kid.
And I'm there, and I probably was one of the few to reach out, and it is what it is. Look, and this is the problem. I was fine. The only thing that I found by doing the scorebook is I can't really enjoy the game.
No,
just sit back and enjoy the game. It's too much of record keeping. And the scoreboard, the scorebook itself, not difficult. Really not difficult. Although the video that I watched had the different bases on balls, hits, doubles,
right,
in a different spot with more detail than this scorebook did. And so I think I accounted for all the kids that scored runs, but I'm not sure. And then the good news is at the end, you put it in a little box, a little cardboard box, and you just leave it behind.
Okay, so you don't even face someone to look at it.
I left before.
Right.
Left before that, and then I dipped my hands in warm water because my hands were freezing because you couldn't at that temperature put your hands away. But I did it, and I'm proud that I did it, and then it was on to the auction on Saturday night.
I'm always amazed when I go to Oriole games that there's still a couple old guys that will keep the manual paper scorebook.
There are people that love it, right?
And they
love it.
There
are people that really, really dig it.
The game.
Yeah, I mean, they like that. So it's that, and well, then fine. That's great. We got to move on here. We got some beautiful video I curated just for you. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I care, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to tell you about the Podcaster's Warehouse. Ah, yes, the Podcaster's Warehouse. Here's a fact. A podcast is the fastest and most economical way to share your mission, build trust, and show the human side of your brand. People love podcasts because they can relate to the story that you are telling. Every business has a story, so who's telling yours? At the Podcaster's Warehouse, they handle everything, gear, recording, editing, publishing, promotion. Done. No tech headaches, no wasted time. You just show up, the warehouse amplifies your voice, and your podcast drive results. Stronger connections, real leads, and loyal clients. Whether it's an in-house podcast, a tool to promote your business, or just you talking about the things that are important to you, things like touchdown brownies, cigars, hot dogs, Gary Pesh, Miller Lite, what? Or throwing a football 30 yards from behind your back. Let the warehouse, I don't know where he's getting these. Let the warehouse build your podcast. Go to the podcasterswarehouse.com to set up a free call because your story is too good not to tell. Thank you.
I think he puts those things in there so that we know he's not using AI. Or it's just so weird. It has to be Rob's brain.
Yeah, Rob's very, very strange brain. All right. I'm trying to find this last thing here. Oh, come on, Michael. Michael! All right, I think it's here. Wait a minute. I'm struggling there. Where is it? I lost it. All right, I'm moving on to something else.
For your notes for the last segment?
Yeah, yeah. You've got the order, right?
I've got the videos. Yep.
Okay, you got the videos. Let's the first one. What did I label the first one? Sorry about that.
First one, we got Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is, there's a documentary, I think it's an Apatow documentary, and Mel Brooks at 90, whatever. If you're interested in Mel Brooks, one of the comic geniuses of all time, take a look at this little clip that we have. I think you'll enjoy this.
This is your home.
It's really, really
You have
good.
A giant Buddha. Mm-hmm. Why the Buddha?
Just for luck.
Just for luck.
A house needs a Buddha. That's like
every house needs a Buddha. How'd this get decorated? Who picked this?
My late great wife, Anne Bancroft. She had good taste in everything except husbands.
Is it important to you that people know your story? You care about the legacy?
I know not so much about me, but about little, short, funny-looking Jews who are trepidatious about entering show business.
Yeah.
I said, if I can do it, you can do it.
And I believe him. And I think that's a great way to look at it. And I bet he's mentored a lot of people. I know he was very close with Rob Reiner. And, you know, I think that's really cool.
Is that on Netflix? Where is that documentary?
I'm not sure where the documentary is. But, you know, Mel Brooks gave us so much. And it's sad because, you know, his little circle of friends, we've watched them all go. It was Carl Reiner, Norman Lear, and Mel Brooks, and one by one, they're gone, and he's kind of the last man standing, which I think is kind of sad. But check it out if you get a chance. I think you'll really enjoy that. Our next one, what do you have for us next on the docket, Josh Shiroka?
Well, we've got a guy, or we can go with a dog.
Let's go with the guy. Let's go with the guy, because I think the guy, are we talking about the guy with the axe?
Yes, it says guy.
All right, hold on. Let me set it up. The guy with the axe is... Well, I welcome what you feel about this guy. It's not 100% of the way I feel, but I think it speaks to after the most recent post of the Obamas, I think it speaks to the way a lot of us on the left are feeling. This came across my feed, and I'll share it with you right now.
I'm going to make sure I wait 24 hours before I post this video, because the last thing the internet needs right now is another poorly thought out, knee-jerk reaction to something. And I do feel I have a moral obligation to think before I speak, especially with how many people follow this account. I will not be sharing or displaying the meme that our president decided to post on Truth Social, because one, it was not a mistake, and two, it was definitely not a surprise. At this point, pretending that we're caught off guard by that post is disingenuous at best. Which leads me to a far more important point about me and this page going forward. I will not be going back and forth with people anymore about this administration. I'm not trying to get people to hear me out anymore. I'm not trying to convince people of shit. When it comes to this administration, it's curtains. You have all the evidence you need 1,000 times over about this, morally, and more so, even if you agree with these morals, you have all the evidence you need fiscally to justify an impeachment. If you don't even want to get into the moral high ground stuff, you can just look at it from a performance-based perspective. And that alone is enough. If you aren't connected to reality anymore, fine. Society is moving on without you. It's honestly full-on embarrassing to see people, celebrities, internet personalities, somehow conflicted about saying something about what's going on. The absolute fantasy land where this man is somehow still defendable is a place where facts aren't allowed.
All right, you can stop it. You stop it there. All right, so I don't want to get into it with you on this, because I also think you are, and I think that overall, I've never considered you a Kool-Aid drinker. I've never considered you unnuanced in your approach. I think you've been very clear about some of your religious issues that make you feel a certain way. But I am curious about this most recent tipping point where I'm still going to give you a voice. I'm still going to talk to you about things. But I will also just ask you, what do you feel about that point of view at this juncture? Because many of my Trump friends are, I believe, getting enough. They've had quite enough right now. What do you feel? What do you feel about
it? I think nuance is healthy. I think that I have seen, especially after this meme, that guy says, well, the meme was not a mistake. It was, in my view, because it had nothing to do with what was going on.
I disagree. And I couldn't disagree more.
I think it was a staffer doing it wrong, because I think he's not that dumb to know that wouldn't piss people off, and that they would focus on he wouldn't post a video that is 45 seconds long wanting attention of the last 1 second.
Okay.
That's why I say it's an accident. But what bothers me is seeing
And by the way, folks, when I say okay, I'm letting Josh have his spin. I'm not agreeing implicitly. And I think there's, speaking of nuance, you have to understand, we're in total disagreement on this.
Yes.
All right?
You're okay, but I let you.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, what bothers me really is people expecting the president now as like a spiritual example. Or what I get messaged to me all the time is, look at your Christian president or whatever. And I've never looked at the president in any type of spiritual, great moral things. I always look at policies. And what's the shame to me is I thought he had some good policies and things that came out in the past week that got overshadowed with this.
That's because he's an ass. Anyway, that's my rational response to that person. I think that, it's just astonishing. What my opinion is, what this would have resulted in 3 years ago, not 10 years ago, 3 years ago, it's stunning what happens now and how it's just, well, let's move on. And I, the offensive nature of things, it's a weird world out there, ladies and gentlemen. And at some point, I am feeling from people on the right that perhaps there are more moderate people than you who are saying, okay, is there any bit of you that has a little burnout with this administration?
With the administration, no, I am burned out on the constant, everything in life is now political, where I just don't care. And I'm tired of the everything is the end of the world.
Do you believe that after this administration that there will not be, because it is a Trump factor,
I think
there will be less of it after he is out of office?
No. No.
You think this is here to stay?
I think yes. Because I think it is a bullying technique by your side of pushing and pushing and pushing, where I think if it's J.D. Vance wins next time and Marco Rubio, that it'll continue.
I think a bullying technique would be firing like 10 rounds into the guy's back when he's down on the ground, when he's an ICU nurse. I mean, I think there are things that have happened in this administration that are so egregious in decades past, they'd be out on their ass. They really would. But now, because he does so many bad things, it's just accepted. And I hate that. I truly hate it. I truly hate the fact that and people say it's a staffer. If it's a staffer, it still reflects on the administration that would put out there.
Yes.
That's the type of mindset, the bigotry that exists in that mindset. It's bigotry.
And him coming out and saying, I didn't make a mistake, and I stand by it. No, you come out and you say, it was a mistake. It's been handled. The person's been fired.
He doesn't have the moral courage to do that. He does not have the moral courage to stand up and do that. And he's doing damage all over the world. And I just want... I want this nightmare to be over. And, as one of my buddies said the other day, you got 3 more years of it. But I wanted to share that because I'm thinking more and more of that. And for those of you that don't like these discussions, maybe you won't get as many of them because I'm so pissed right now. But that's it. I thought I'd just let's change the topic now. And there's nothing like I consider pugs. Boston Terriers, French Bulldogs to be in the same category. They make amazing sounds. This is a bulldog, a Frenchie, that is going in for a vaccination or a shot of some kind. I love this. Roll this tape. I think you'll enjoy this.
Don't be scared. It's okay.
I haven't even done anything yet.
That is awesome. That's it. We used to have a pug. The pug's name was Beluga. And Beluga, you could hear him in the parking lot when you were going into the Petco, and he was getting groomed. Not going to the vet, getting groomed. I have repeat business now. And I have a new favorite because these are, we're getting repeats on the same joke. This is the dog scaring cockatoo. Absolutely one of my favorite things online now. Please enjoy a cockatoo walking into a room full of dogs and terrifying them. Here we go. I don't care if it's AI. Do you think it's AI, perhaps? Is there a chance?
I don't think it's AI because of the creepy guy in the back.
Yeah, the guy that's standing behind the cockatoo. I love that more than anything. I can watch that all day long. Oh, my God. Look, this results in an injury, I believe, and his own fellow officer is reacting to it. But apparently there is a police action at a home. And, you know, you've had small children, Josh. You know what I'm talking about. One of the most dangerous things in a house can be dog toys or baby's toys left everywhere. This goes kind of wrong for this police officer.
Yep, I'm done.
What did he trip on?
He said he broke his leg.
Yep, I'm done. I broke my leg.
What did he?
Oh, Mike. Well, roll it again. Roll it from the beginning. I think it looks like he stepped on a toy or something.
We will try our best. Yep, I'm done.
It's the other cop.
I broke my leg.
Yeah, the other cop just runs.
Laughing as he says he's broken his leg.
Yep, I'm done. I broke my leg.
That's a tough situation right there. And we end today. We've gone way over. Sorry about that. We end today. You know, there was the counter programming to the Bad Bunny performance at the Super Bowl. There are a few words on this. This is some of the news coverage that I found amusing. Roll the turning point.
Woke nonsense that the NFL is promoting during the halftime show. Then tune in to Turning Point USA's All-American Halftime Show. Their lineup just dropped, friends, and it's fire. Now this Sunday, Patriots like Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, and Gabby Barrett are performing right when halftime starts for the NFL.
Woo! Huh? Man, that is a real who's who of who? We've got Gabby Barrett, Brantley Gilbert, Garby Billet, Billy Garbett, Breely Grabbers, Bobby Glabert, Gaggy Bobbles, Barnacle Gasperty, Babette Gingletree, Hologram Hulk Hogan, Gregory Banklebob, Kid Rock, and Kid Rock's father, Adult Rock.
There we go. That's it. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, Rob will be back in the fold tomorrow. We will see you then. And do we have closing music? Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Can you not hear it? Let's see that.
Now I can hear it. That's awesome. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for participating in the Super Bowl squares. We appreciate that. And we will see you tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Bebe. Girlie Maggot. Bebe. Blocket. Salam. Flutter Blocket. Bebe. Bully Baggy.